Hey there, I am glad you're back, and if you're listening to me for the first time, I'm really glad you're here. And just sit and listen to that for a minute. Isn't that lovely? Today, we are going to be talking about the idea of being grounded, how one might do that, how we might let our environment coach us. I'll talk a little bit about something I've written about and how my environment coached me to be more on the ground, as I like to say. And then we will finish this episode up with a gentle meditation that is designed to help you feel more on the ground. I hope you'll stay with me.
Align with your best self. Explore the quality of your being. Step into your capacity to thrive. Broadcasting from the northwest coast of Scotland, this is the Wanderer's Guide to Cosmic Fabulosity with D.W. Long.
Okay, my shiny happies, today we are upping our cosmic fabulosity by looking at this idea of becoming more grounded, or enhancing our sense of groundedness, so to speak. We are already in the second month of 2021, and maybe some of you, like me, in times, in moments, don't feel as grounded as you would like to whilst you're facing whatever it is you're up to in this wacky, wacky world we're living in. So I want to state right now something that I've said to you before, something some of you need to hear, some of you will have a duh moment, but I'm going to remind you that you are whole and complete, and whilst you sit with me, all of the answers that occur to you are already inside of you. You are powerful, and you can, with less effort than you think, settle into a deeper sense of calm, a firmer sense of groundedness, even if the feelings and thoughts that you're having in any moment that might be causing some kind of havoc in your mind, or your externals might look a little crazy at the moment. You have the power to settle into the thing we're talking about today. Now, a while back, some of you know I was writing about recovering power and sense of purpose in the face of loss and uncertainty, and one of the things I was exploring was how to be grounded, and I wrote this chapter about being on the ground and how we can let our environment coach us. And I came across this really famous quote by Ram Dass, and I just loved it, and it was the launch pad for the chapter. And it says, "When you know how to listen, everybody is the guru." Now, ain't that the truth? I mean, when we are really wide awake and listening with our hearts and minds and having that heart and mind in balance, and we're just present to everything that our environment brings to us, well, even the buttheads are teaching us. I mean, that's the absolute truth. I think many of you will agree with me there. And by grace, we have the great experience of having people who are perhaps grounded and have a sense of self that is clear and purposeful, we also learn from those people. So let's look at this idea of letting our environment coach us. Now, some of you, if you're like me, might be finding it difficult in different times of life, or right now with everything that's going on in the world, you might find it difficult to find yourself on the ground, figuratively. You might be wondering what I mean by that phrase, on the ground. Well, having the experience of being grounded, centered, being able to slip into stillness with ease, being in contact with yourself in a way that the external environment doesn't intrude upon or invade that space and take us outside of ourselves is what I mean. Now, you guys who've been sitting with me know I don't mind at all disclosing, you know, some things about myself, and I have to bust myself and say that, you know, my inherent nature, through a lot of my development growing up, has never afforded me any ease when it comes to being grounded or on the ground. I had a propensity for being flighty and ungrounded and uncentered. You know, I'm an artist. It's very easy for me to just kind of take off with my head in the clouds and then suddenly find myself with the experience of, ooh, where the hell am I right now? You know, kind of figuratively. Now, that has shifted greatly over the last 10 years. I have practices in place that keep me grounded, or at least help me find my way back to being on the ground. If you don't yet have a practice in place, well, perhaps our little exercise at the end of today's talk will help you get a start to laying the foundation for that. For those of you who've been with me right from the start, if you've been following this in a linear way, you know that I've been talking a bit about being centered in different moments and perhaps how I find it really interesting, and you might too, how adverse life experiences can bring us a new perspective about the things we're currently holding in the present moment, difficulties and what have you. And also, if we're awake and receptive to everything in our immediate vicinity, including people and the places where we find ourselves and the things we encounter, there is a wealth of information right before us all the time that is there to coach us. And as I said earlier, even the buttheads bring us coaching, often the best coaching, if we're awake and open to it. So, I started working on this idea of how can I add an element to this work that I've written about being on the ground, about being grounded, during a time in my life where I could have found myself completely ungrounded, but what happened was the opposite happened. I felt even more rooted to the earth, as well as being connected to something bigger than myself, perhaps the universe or the heavens above, you know, however that would look to you. So, little story, I started writing about this idea of being on the ground, first visiting Scotland, some friends, and then, you know, you guys know that this is home now, and I started writing this chapter, and two very good friends and some new friends who appeared on my path, I found myself observing something that I might classify as a cultural difference as compared to my own upbringing, perhaps even my own personal upbringing, but even a cultural difference in the United States. So hanging around with some Scottish people sparked my use of the phrase on the ground, and one very good friend that I made early on whilst living here embodied the very definition of that phrase in their way of being on a day-to-day basis. This person in particular, and other people as well, seemed to have a kind of stoic pragmatism that seemed to come with ease. It was inherent. It was a trait that was just present, and I noticed this in Scottish people. And I've witnessed witnessed different versions of this in many other people as well. But this one person who was acutely present to my experience and what I was, quote, going through at the time and talking about, possessed a trait that I wished that I'd had, like, inherently, and would come as easily to me as it seemed to come to them. But, you know, it isn't really about how easy the skill set comes when we're talking about this idea of being grounded. It's just about having the skill set. Now, as we continue to explore this idea of being on the ground, right, there's something that we have to remember. You know, anything in too great a portion is going to knock us off balance. So what we want to remember here is we can't be so focused on being grounded that we lose our inherent flexibility. If we become rigid, yeah, for lack of a better word, in our way of being in order to exert control of our environment, you know, both internally and externally, and those of you who listened to the most recent episode will know what I'm talking about a little bit here. If we do that in some weirdly askew attempt to feel grounded, right, we risk remaining open to new perspectives and, you know, experiences. So continuing to be with these people, and especially this one person in particular, this notion of being on the ground was just so top of mind for me. I really started to question, how was it that all through this experience that I had written about, had I managed to remain very grounded through all of it? And I had my practices, but what was curious to me was this sort of inherent nature that these Scottish dudes and dudettes seem to have. It's It's crazy because I don't think that's in every culture. The kind of stoicism that has a positive aspect to it, I don't think I've seen it anywhere else. I think, you know, in other parts of the UK, we might see that, but we, without shame or blame, we might notice that some of that rigidity and stoicism leaves us feeling cold when we meet those people. And when you meet the Scottish people, you feel the last thing but cold. I mean, they're intensely warm people. So anyway, if we say, I'm going to let my environment coach me, I'm going to observe what's around me, and we're looking at this one thing here, you know, we can say that human relationships are the playground for learning to be open to new ideas, right? And we can consider someone's different opinion and maybe, you know, decide that we're going to meet them where they are. And sometimes, you know, these interactions, you know, they can be unsettling or challenge our preconceived ideas about who we are. And, you know, if we're human, we often want to be right. And, you know, being right, you know, does not at all indicate that we're off the ground, that desire, right? Difficult interactions where our emotions become heightened can have this, you know, feeling like the ground has disappeared from underneath us. I mean, I know that my experience when I'm in an interaction that isn't pleasant and I begin to sort of slip from that grounded place, you know, I can be a yeller. And it feels intensely ungrounded for me to be in that sort of emotional, you know, the throes of an emotional sort of raggedness, so to speak. Now, this does not mean that we are actually coming apart or losing our contact with our sense of groundedness, especially if we have practices in place and ideas and notions of we want to be on the ground. We can return to that, you know, even in the midst of a difficult interaction. Now, there's something to learn here. You know, if we have engaged our courage in a moment, even during our sort of heightened emotional dramatic thingy that's going on, and we are choosing to be vulnerable, and that experience could be a novel one, you know, for you, we could say to ourselves, okay, this is a moment where I can experience growth, right? If I manage to set my intention to be open and flexible, and maybe taking on a new perspective could be just what we, and that's the royal we all are the royal we, you know, we should own that, it might be just what we need. And when we wake up to that in that moment of seeming ungroundedness, we have actually engaged our capacity for being grounded. Our capacity for that has increased. It's like going to the gym, right? It will take practice, but we'll get there when we continue to wake ourselves up. Now, in order to access this ability, so to speak, to be grounded, right, we need to have had a practice in place where we can do that in an environment where our brain is at ease, right? Our cortisol isn't high. And we're going to talk about that here, like I said, I promised, little simple meditation practice at the end of this episode where we can build that skill set. But let's continue to hang out with what we were looking at before. Let's say we're having an interaction that is making us feel like we're being knocked off center. Now, when we shift our attention and, you know, and set our intention, you know, in that moment, it's not about deflecting or suppressing or ignoring whatever the emotional undercurrent is that's, you know, going on inside of us. It's really about connecting with an aspect of our best self, regaining momentum while we're holding all of this, that eventually leads us to a more centered place. So that interaction becomes, well, at another level. You know, in those moments, we're more apt to turn our attention toward what's productive in that use of energy rather than hanging out in this neck deep sort of bog of discomfort. And, you know, the discomfort is more than likely to still be there, but that discomfort does not own the entire space where this experience we're having resides. Now, quickly about the simple mindful breathing practice we're going to do at the end of this episode. You know, the research shows us, I know this to be true with the people I work with and for myself. Here's the thing about when we approach a practice and we're looking for an outcome such as greater calm, right? And the research tells us that people who learned mindful breathing weren't less distressed when their facing distressing situations. Like you might be, you know, facing a distressing situation with the way the world looks at the moment if coronavirus is having a direct impact on, you know, the quality of your life, right? Well, people who practice mindful breathing were more accepting of their distress, and that helped them tolerate the stressors better. So that doesn't mean that, you know, we're changing the externals and that the stressors go away. And it may mean that we don't necessarily feel more calm in a moment, although the calm feeling might come from the fact that we are able to hold the distress in a more positive way, and we're able to say, I can tolerate this sense of unease. And in that, in the end, makes me feel more calm. Do you get what I'm saying? It's like, you know, do a mindful breathing exercise and feel more calm. Well, you might feel more calm, even though the level of distress, if we want to use that word, and I say that lightly, the discomfort we feel might not have shifted, but because we can tolerate it in a way that maybe we hadn't developed the skill set for earlier on, well, then we end up saying, well, I feel more calm in this moment. Yeah? Does that make sense? So here's some more wisdom that comes from outside myself. You know, I'm watching these Scottish people walk around with their inherent sense of being grounded, and I had started to wonder if sometimes we don't all overthink these ideas, right, these days, instead of just connecting deeply to something that is fundamentally ours. You can feel free to disagree with me, but wait a while. Stay with me until the end of this before you make a decision. For thousands of years, think about this. For thousands of years, we did not have therapists or coaches as we define them today. However, we had spiritual leaders, and masters, and guides, and wisdom holders in our tribes. And I imagine if we had not possessed the inherent ability to get on the ground, not unlike the way we're talking about here, we would have... It's a bit fatalistic, but ceased to exist if we hadn't been able to find that. And that was posed to me again recently. You know, we have that inside of ourselves to draw upon. So maybe overthinking doesn't serve us. So stay with me. You guys know, if we remind ourselves that we're whole and complete, and remember that's not my language, I got that from someone else, and we have our own answers. If we take this premise that I'm on about here and integrate it as part of our belief system, well, we can rest in full acceptance of our wholeness and completeness and trust that the answers we seek are already within us. And I bet some of you who've been with me since the beginning, if you didn't have that perspective in the beginning, you might be starting to shift there. And if we're able to take that perspective, that sounds like a nice balance between head and heart to me. And, you know, feeling balance, as Martha Stewart would say, it's a good thing. So let me add this. You know, we, my dear listener, you and I are exploring this notion of being on the ground, not to negate the value of the very human experience of being off the ground. And, you know, we all have that experience. It's to observe that in these contrasting moments where there's contrast, that we find wisdom, right, that's being presented to us, if we're awake enough, right? And I bust myself, not always been awake enough, and still tend to faceplant in that arena. But when we're awake enough and willing enough to receive that information, well, it transforms something. And if you're still with me and interested in learning about maybe doing one practice that can help develop the skill set of getting on the ground, I hope you'll stay with me. That is coming up next.
You're listening to The Wanderer's Guide to Cosmic Fabulosity. If, like me, you're enjoying what DW has to say, go ahead and hit the subscribe button to keep up with future content.
I would absolutely love it if you click a star rating or leave a review. That way, I can know that the content I bring here is useful to you. So, once again, we ask this question. How do we shift back to the place where we can find ourselves centered and on the ground and continue to move forward whilst honoring the contrast and discomfort we might be feeling in any given moment? In a broad general sense, like coronavirus got me ticking, or this argument I just had with a spouse, a partner, a friend has got me off center. How do we do that? Now, there are all kinds of teachings out there about grounding and centering. And therapists, and coaches, I believe, too, find themselves bringing grounding and centering techniques to those in distress, most likely on a daily basis. You know, if you're like me and you sit with people, we're taking moments to ground and center. So this skill set, right, tapping into the ability to become grounded or shift to a place where we are once again on the ground, is one that can be developed by anyone. And perhaps our environment, as we grew up, never coached us to be on the ground. And as I mentioned before, you know, it seems that the people of Scotland have somewhat a version of this skill set for free, you know, the ability to just stay grounded and just be grounded. Now, I'm making a broad, sweeping, and probably overly generalized statement about that, but come to Scotland, talk to these people, and you'll be like, yeah, these are some damn grounded people. And wherever you find yourself now, let your environment coach you. Look at the people who always seem steady, or even better, you know, this is better, are actually on the ground when the going gets tough. Who are the people who vulnerably say, I'm suffering in this moment because I don't know what the hell is going to happen next. However, I constantly remind myself to get still on the inside so I can create some kind of cognitive space. You know, listen to the people who have their own version of that and let that inform your ability to find yourself being on the ground or creating some way for you to be on the ground. And so it is time for a little practice that I want to introduce you to. And I hope you'll sit with me through this. It's very simple. It is a grounding practice, and it is also one that you can use to fully relax in any moment or implement it whilst you're sitting at your desk and you want to remain alert and buoyant, but you want to feel more connected to the ground, whatever that means for you, connected to the earth, more centered on the inside, more still, right? It doesn't matter. So let's set the tone with some very gentle music. And what I'd like for you to do is for the next little moment or two, just listen to the music and then I'll begin leading you through this. This is a meditation called Calm. And Calm is an acronym, and each letter of the word Calm leads us through grounding and centering a different part of our body. So what I'd like for you to do right now is find a place where you're comfortable. You might be fully comfortable sitting in a chair at the moment. If you want to go and lie down, feel free. Like I said before, you can use this simple meditation to fully relax. And if you doze off whilst you're listening to my voice, that is perfectly okay. If you want to stay more alert, I recommend sitting in a chair, you know, your back nice and upright, but in a gentle and relaxed way, and imagine yourself tethered to the sky above you and tethered to the ground below you, and you're simply just suspended in alertness and awareness, but you're also, in this moment with me, going to find a way, a pathway, to feeling more grounded. And you might even find yourself feeling more calm at the end of this. Yes, it is called calm after all. But let's go for that sense of groundedness. Yeah, we're just going to get grounded in ourself. Now you might find yourself sitting in a chair or lying down. You can pause this, if you like, right now to go and find the position that's going to be most comfortable for you, and then turn it back on and we'll continue. Very, very gently, notice your breath. Allow your breath to become slow, so nice slow inhales and slow exhales, and just be with that for a second. And as you're breathing, we'll take the C from the word calm and bring our awareness to our chest. Picture your chest area, your torso. Take your time and allow your awareness to scan your torso area. Right? Feel your breathing, your lungs gently filling, and then releasing the breath. whilst you are aware of your torso and chest area. Notice if your breath is shallow and allow that breath to become more expansive. No need to push, just allow it to open up a little bit more. On the inhale, and on the exhale. And on your next exhale, if you notice any tension in your chest area, in that part of your body, on the next exhale, breathe out that tension. Imagine with your breath that all of that tension just whisks away with your breath. It's just gone. You can feel yourself relax more on that exhale. And when you do this on your own, you can take as much time as you like. But now we're going to move on to the letter A. As we continue to feel our breathing in and out, slowly and gently, we pay attention now to our arms. Simply shift your awareness to your arms, one arm at a time, or both arms. It doesn't matter. With your awareness, scan your arms from your fingertips up to your shoulder and notice if there's any tension. And on the exhale, just like we did before, very, very gently, release that tension. Breathing in and breathing out, allowing that tension just to melt away. Now, when you do this on your own, you can take much more time if you like, if that suits you. But now it's time for the L in the word calm. And again, we shift our awareness now to our legs. Both legs, or one leg at a time. It's up to you. Continuing to breathe slowly. Inhale. And exhale. Scan your legs from the tips of your toes all the way up to your hips. What do you notice? Do you notice any tension? You've already become really good at allowing the tension to melt away on the exhale, so do that. Breathing very gently. Inhaling. And exhaling. Allowing the tension to just melt away, fly away on the breath. Whatever image feels good to you. Now we come to the last part of calm. It's the letter M, and that is for our mouth. We hold a lot of tension in our mouth and our jaw, so bring your awareness to your mouth and jaw area. Continuing to breathe in gently and breathe out gently. What are you noticing about your mouth area and your jaw? Is there tension? Continuing to breathe and remembering and reminding yourself that you've become really good at this. And as we exhale, we release any tension around our mouth and our jaw. It's super easy. Breathing in. And breathing out. And now as we sit here in this place of calm together for another minute or so, continue to breathe. And release any tension you might find anywhere else in your body. Very simply, allowing it to leave your body on the exhale. And take your time. And now as we sit here together, we bring our awareness back to the podcast. Back to our environment, where we are, where we're sitting. And we make a little note of where we notice tension in our body, so that next time we do this practice, we can ask the question, am I tense again in my shoulders? And maybe this time, on the exhale, I'll release even more tension. And as we continue to listen to my voice, and we bring our awareness back to the room around us, the seat that's holding us up, the bed we're lying on, the sofa we're lying on, wherever we might be, we allow our breath to become a little more vibrant. We take a nice big breath in, and we let it out through our mouth or through our nose. It doesn't matter, whatever's comfortable to us. And we're becoming more aware and more awake now, right where we want to be, ready to move on. And we remind ourselves that this is a skill set we have just developed and is right at our fingertips in any given moment. We can take any of these elements we just did and do them for 30 seconds on each of the four areas. Yes, the chest, the arms, the legs. Yes, and then back to the mouth. And we can spend 30 seconds on each area. That's 2 minutes, and then be revitalized and ready to move on. So as we get ready to boogie back into everyday life, real life, I want to thank you for sitting with me today. I hope this little meditation at the end was useful. Leave me some comments. Send me an email. Tell me if you would like more of this or not. Let me know what you're thinking. And as always, remember your wholeness and completeness and the fact that you have all your own answers. And as always, 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 I wish you big love and light. Until next time.
You've been listening to The Wanderer's Guide to Cosmic Fabulosity with D.W. Long. Want to ask a question for a future episode? Click on the link in the show notes to send your question along via D.W.'s website at www.mcscoach.com.